There is no person that God cannot save. There is no promise that God will not keep. There is nothing that our God cannot do. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. This is our series of messages called Distinctives for Disciples. Distinctives for Disciples. And what this is, really, is core Christianity. What we believe, why we believe it, the things that every Christian should know, whether you are a new Christian or whether this is a refresher on your Christian faith, is so very important that we know what we believe, why we believe it, and that we not only know our faith, but live our faith and give our faith away because it's too good to keep to ourselves. And today we come to the subject of faith. How can you speak of Christian living apart from faith? Someone described faith as the golden key that unlocks all of the provision and promises of God in our lives. Yes, faith. And when we speak of faith, we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, which you may know, if you've been around your Bible for a while, as the faith chapter. Now, the Bible is a book of faith. This is a faith book. The great country preacher Vance Havner from North Carolina once said about the Bible, he said, one of these days, someone is going to pick up this Bible, read it, and believe it, and the rest of us are going to be ashamed of ourselves. So this book is a faith book. And there are many great chapters in the Bible. Just think of some of the great chapters in the Bible. Start with Genesis 1 and creation. Think about Isaiah 53 and the prophecy of the suffering servant, the Savior who would come. Think of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And moving over to the New Testament, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 begins with no condemnation, and it ends with no separation and all that life that we have in between. We are more than conquerors, super conquerors in Christ. Romans 8, D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, said, I would rather live in Romans 8 than in the Garden of Eden, because they fell in the Garden of Eden, but you cannot fall in from the truth of Romans chapter 8. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Many great chapters in the Bible, mountain peak kinds of scriptures. If you want to speak about faith, though, you would turn to Hebrews chapter 11. It's been described as God's Hall of Faith or God's Hall of Fame. We have various Hall of Fame. Baseball has one, of course. Hall of Fames where the greats of the past are honored. And so what you have in Hebrews chapter 11 are the heroes and the heroines of the faith. Because faith is very hard to define at some levels, but it is most beautifully described. Faith is not something we say. Faith is something that we live. And in these days when we are terrorized by wars and fears and there's so much anxiety and depression and many people want to give up on their faith, but this is not a time to leave your faith. This is the time to live your faith. And the Bible says the just, the righteous, says it multiple times, the righteous will live by faith. And so we live this faith. It is active, it is dynamic, it is powerful. And so in chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, we're going to read the first three verses, and then we're going to scroll down to verse 6 and preach from there. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And then look at verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, that he is, and that he rewards those who seek him. This is faith, and faith is foundational to the Christian life. We live by faith. And what does that look like? What does it mean right here from Scripture when it says we are to live by faith? That faith is substantive, faith is real, faith, though unseen, is not temporal, but it is eternal. I've read many definitions of faith over time. Philip Yancey said faith means believing in advance what only makes sense in reverse. Someone else said faith is trusting God in spite of the condition or the cost or the consequence of believing. I like that. Someone else said faith is an active confidence that God's promises are always true. The confidence, the certainty that God's promises are true. Faith sees the opportunity, doubt sees the obstacles. And as I said, faith is that key that unlocks everything from God's treasure house of blessings upon our lives. We, of course, are saved by faith. We receive eternal life by believing and receiving Jesus Christ by simple faith. It is not complicated. There are many complicated things in life and truly in the theology of the Bible, but it is not complicated. A small child. In fact, Jesus said, unless you believe and come to Christ like a small child, you'll never be converted. So our faith can be childlike. It can be simple. It can be small, but saving faith. Paul put it this way. When asked, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Paul put it this way, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. To be saved from our sin, all of it, to receive Christ into our lives. The scripture says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he the right to be called the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. So believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. And when you read the word faith here, it could be translated trust or it could be translated confident. I like that word confident. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day. I know what I believe, not just what I have believed, but I know in whom and whom I have believed. We have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of our faith in Christ, we're told here that this faith gives us hope. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is hope. I've always defined hope as the certain, the sure confidence that our future is in his hands. The assurance that we are with him now and that we will be with him forever. And in this time in which we face so many problems and so many pressures in our lives, not only just worldwide, but the personal problems that you're facing, problem with your kids, marital discord, strife in our streets, all this going on around us, how can we live in this pressure cooker of a world? And so we have this hope in him. We are saved by faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 is an essential passage for believers. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so grace through faith. You know what grace is. I learned it as a small child, but grace is the gift of God. A little acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is what God has done for us. We do not save ourselves. We do not earn our salvation, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. And so there's nothing that I can do to save myself, nothing you can do. Most people on the streets of America and around the world would say, if you ask them, what does it take to go to heaven? They're going to talk about good character, good works, and all of these things are good and to be admired, but none of them get you to heaven. I wouldn't trust the best 5 minutes I ever lived to get me to heaven. Our good deeds, our good works cannot satisfy the holy and perfect righteous demands of a loving God. And so what God has done is provided for us the gift of eternal life. And so grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. He paid the price. He died. He rose again. And what is faith? Faith, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. That's what faith is. And just picture God's hand of grace reaching down to you. And by faith, you reach up and forsaking all, self and sin, you turn from your sin, that's repentance, and receive Christ into your life. That's when the transaction is done. When Jesus died on the cross, he exclaimed, "Tetelestai, it is finished." That was not the cry of defeat. It was the cry of victory. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he wasn't nearly finished. Satan was finished. Salvation's plan was finished. Tetelestai, the victory is won. It's that Jesus won the victory at the cross, paid the price, took the penalty, took the sin, the shame, the death, the hell. He died for us. He went to the grave. On the third day, he came out of the grave. He ascended on high. He reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is coming again in great glory to take us all to heaven. Jesus won. And therefore, we win. Therefore, we win because we are in Christ and we share in his victory. So this is faith. This is just the beginning of faith. Salvation at the start, when you receive Christ, and certainly salvation when we are glorified in his presence. But what happens in between? What happens in between? Well, by faith, I choose, I realize God's presence in my life. You're taking notes, that's the first point. By faith, I realize God's presence. That's why verse 1 is in chapter 11 at the start. Faith is the assurance, the conviction, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the conviction of things not seen. Words like substance and evidence and conviction and confidence and assurance and this hope that we have in him. You see, we know God's presence. We know God because God has given us something very wonderful. It is the faculty of faith, the ability to believe. Faith is substance. It's real. And you say, well, I only believe in things that I can see, that what science tells me. No, you don't. You believe in a lot of things that you can't see with your physical eyes. And so we are to believe. Now, why must we believe for God to reward us? I mean, why couldn't God just say everyone is in the family, everyone is coming home? Why must we believe? Because God has given us this capacity to love him and to believe in him, to choose him. It's not automatic. You must become a believer. You get that? You must become a believer. Now, there is a brand of theology, call it Calvinism, Reformed theology, whatever you choose, that Jesus died only for the elect. For God so loved the elect. Is that what it says? No, for God so loved the world that whosoever, anyone and everyone who would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Let me just give you some scriptures to counteract what some of you may have been reading regarding this wonderful salvation and that we have no choice, we have no part in salvation. Yes, God is sovereign. He is powerfully, beautifully sovereign, but he chooses his will to be our will. And in Isaiah 53:6, let's listen to this one. Isaiah 53:6 says, "Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus died for all. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us, who? All. Will he not now also with him graciously give us all things? 1 Timothy 2:4, God, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. 1 John 2:1 and 2, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation, that is the satisfaction of and for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for all. Every person is a candidate for his salvation. Revelation 22, verse 17, the Bible concludes with this word, the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him who hears say, come, let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Whosoever will may come. I am a gospel preacher who gives an invitation for people to respond to the gospel. God calls, God saves, God gives us eternal life, but you must choose to believe and receive in Jesus. You must personally respond to Christ. It's not automatic. It comes when you put your faith in God personally, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So the unseen happens, the powerful thing happens. We realize God's presence by faith, and then by faith we release God's power. That's what verse 2 is about. For by it the people of old received their commendation. And when you read chapter 11, the heroes of the faith, you meet these one by one, Old Testament saints and believers. Did you know Christians were called believers before they were called Christians? So these are Old Testament believers. And one by one, we meet them in the scriptures. It's a walk through the Bible. And whether starting with Abel, who offered by faith a more acceptable sacrifice, or by faith Enoch was taken up as he walked with God, or by faith it was Noah being warned of God, constructed an ark, who by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called out to a place out of Ur of the Chaldees. He received the promise from God. That is the beginning of the Jewish nation. By faith, Sarah, and read the scripture one by one from Abraham and Isaac to Jacob to Moses to the great champions that we meet here in Hebrews chapter 11. All of them did one thing. They lived by faith. They were activated by faith. And because of it, are you still listening? Because of it, God released power in their lives. Wonder-working power. Miracle-working power. And did you know that same God who is all-powerful, who can do anything but fail, is still able to release his power in your life and mine? I mean, God's not older, cannot do what he used to do. He's eternal. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we believe God, when we trust in him, then God begins to work in ways that we can't explain. Call it a miracle, call it a manifestation, call it a great movement of God in our lives, but God works in response to faith. When we take God at his word, when we believe God, and I would simply ask you a very personal question. What are you believing God to do in your life right now? Are you believing God and trusting him with all your heart to do what only he can do? Faith releases the power of God in our lives. And it's a wonderful thing when it happens. And so your children aren't too far gone. God can do a miracle in their lives. You start believing God for your children. You say, can I believe God for someone else? Absolutely. We find that in the gospel accounts, people coming to Jesus in behalf of someone else. Is your marriage breaking apart? It's going to take a miracle for God to restore your marriage. Yes, God can restore your marriage, but you must believe and trust God and His word. You're financially broken and insecure, fractured. Will God take care of you? Yes, He will. And you can believe God for His provision in His life, in ways in your life, in ways that you won't even expect. I showed up here today just to remind you that when you believe God, when you pray and ask and trust in God, that God does wonderful things in our lives, wonder-working things in our lives that we cannot explain. And just read what happened in the Old Testament. Read what happens in the New Testament, because faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17, and hearing by the word of God. I'm here to preach God's word and to pour some faith into your life today, to encourage you and equip you to start trusting God at a whole new level in your life. Yes, faith. By faith, we realize God's presence. By faith, we release God's power. And by faith, we recognize God's purpose for our lives. That's verse 3, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. And when God created the earth, when God made His purposes fulfilled and are being fulfilled, you know, Jesus made it all. Jesus paid it all. He also made it all. Because in the book of Colossians, it says that He is the Christ of the cosmos, that by Him all things consist, everything holds together. Jesus is in control. He is our creator God. And so He has a purpose for this world. That's what that verse is saying. And not only does He have a purpose for the world at large, He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for your life. And when God's power is released in you, you begin trusting God and walking in His word and in His will, then you begin fulfilling God's purpose. You are giving understanding. We have an understanding here that the worlds are made. We have a biblical worldview. It's not science. Science can't do this. Philosophy can't do this. Only God can do this. By faith, we believe the creation was made by the word of God, an awesome wonder. By faith, we recognize God's presence. By faith, we realize God's power. By faith, we understand and realize God's presence and our purpose. And one other thing, by faith, we receive God's reward. By faith, we receive God's reward. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, verse 6. But God rewards those who diligently seek Him. That's another verse, by the way, about our choice and our connection with God. We choose, we seek God. And He seeks us, He comes after us, and we respond in faith. He rewards those who seek Him. Now, very quickly, in closing down this message, just by way, you say, how can I get more faith in my life? What's the takeaway here? If by faith we recognize God's presence, we know that He is, that He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, that He's real. By faith, we release God's power in our lives. Mountain moving power. Doesn't take a lot of faith, just a little faith. They say a little faith will get your soul to heaven, and a great faith will get heaven to your soul. So to release great faith and then to realize God's purpose and to receive God's reward. How do we get there? Well, one, exercise the faith that you have. Start there. It may be small, but start working on that. Faith is like a muscle. It needs to be exercised in order to grow. So activate your faith. Use the faith you have. And then elevate your prayers. Faith is a gift. And if it's a gift, we can ask for faith. If you need more faith, ask God to to give you more faith. A man came to Jesus and he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And so when you have questions, come to the Lord with your questions and ask him to give you the gift to believe. Doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. We do that by faith. So elevate your prayers and then saturate your mind with God's word. As I said, faith comes by hearing in God's word. And so if you want to be a man, a woman of faith, get into the word of God and let the word of God get into you. Because God's word is the tool that builds our faith. And then dedicate yourself completely to Christ. Right on the heels of chapter 11 in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking away and unto Jesus. That's commitment to Jesus Christ, that you would completely trust him. Because when you do, your faith is going to go and it's going to grow all the way to glory. Amen. And one day, it will be worth it all. When you see Jesus, to live by faith. One day we're going to see it by sight. Paul, Peter said, though we haven't seen him, we love him. I don't mind telling you, you're looking at a man who loves Jesus. I love him. And one day we're going to see him.